His brothers stand beside us, called from every land and race. One the bread of life that feeds us, one the cup of brimming grace. Form us, Lord, a single body free from enmity and strife. Jesus, by your resurrection, fill us with the Spirit's life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. From St. John's Gospel, which we've just heard, I'm not sure all of us understood, but I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I want to say how surprised I was when I was invited to be the preacher this evening for our Eucharist. Of course, there was the immediate and rising anxiety about preaching to my colleagues and my dear bishops naked and out in the open, as it were. But knowing that Susan Luff would gently be guiding us to breathe consciously, to choose thoughtful responses to our anxiety, help me to step back and see a larger perspective in this request. So I said to the elephant, who by now was taking up way too much time in my awareness, "Well, Mr. Self-Conscious Clergy Worried About What Others Might Think kind of elephant, I've got an important sermon to write. Would you like to get up off your ass and help me?" And in faith, I heard him say, "I never thought you'd get around to asking me." I also want to say how blessed we've been over the last 24 hours to be the recipients of Susan Luff's guidance and care in discovering new ways, perhaps hearing them afresh, of approaching our relationships with others, with ourselves, and with God. Last evening, she told us that the elephant in the room was a powerful metaphor and a powerful topic. She invited us to ask how looking into these elephants might draw people, once again, to the church and deepen the experience of church, not only for them, but for the clergy and for our congregations. She told us that when churches or people are willing to look at their part in the emotional process, to stretch with vigor forward, perhaps, there is always a new beginning. So through your genuine encouragement with us, your sincerity and your humor, you've offered us a fresh roadmap as we travel in our relationships with others. One other little gem that I had to lift up for us was an image that Susan talked about of Bowen theory as a way of creating a new emotional raincoat for our daily living. Did you catch that one? It went by very quickly, but it was a beautiful metaphor. An emotional raincoat for our daily living. I had the privilege of being in a clergy colleague group that was hosted by Pierce Klempt for many years at Christ Church Alexandria. And that's where I first met Susan. She was our facilitator for that group. And that was just pure gift. And Pierce, I will remember that colleagues group forever and treasure it. So Susan, there are a lot of shining eyes here tonight, and we thank you. In our hearing tonight, the word of the Lord has come to us from the high priestly prayer of Jesus. This night, Jesus continues to pray for you and to pray for me. He prays that we would be kept from the power of diminishment, from what is evil, from what is malevolent. And he prays that we would know ourselves, set apart for a good, noble, and high purpose. Jesus, in this text, boldly declares the inextricable relationship between unity and mission, between the way that you and I relate to one another and to those outside of these walls, and the ability of others to come to faith, between the quality of our relationships and the good news we seek to share. In our hearing tonight, Jesus reveals not merely that we can be unified in our mission, but that our unity is mission. Our unity is mission. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Also, in our hearing tonight, the word of the Lord has come to us from a man in prison for his faith, who begs us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The theme of the readings is clear. Our relationships with our fellow followers of Christ are connected to our witness to the world. They can't be separated. Now, looking around the church and our communion, one could be forgiven for thinking otherwise. For far too long, and certainly over the last painful decade, as Andrew Merrow described it earlier today, we have been living through what we might call a family systems nightmare. We've been living with what Father Jesse Zink describes in his new book, Backpacking Through the Anglican Communion, which Bishop Ted is asking all of us to read. He describes it as living under a narrative of disunity. Rings true. Recently, I got a new primary care physician, a new dentist, and a new orthopedist who's going to scope out my running knee. And do you know that each of them, upon finding out I was an Episcopal priest, asked me in one way or another, isn't that the church that has had so much terrible division over the last few years? And after I explained to them, that's not the whole story, I reflected and took from those conversations that people seem less interested in what we believe, that is, in what makes us Episcopalians or Anglicans, but they sure are interested in how we're going to resolve our relationships with each other. Put it another way, I wonder if people outside our normal discussion and discourse are interested more in the nature and quality of our belonging than they are in what it is we belong to. Relationships are inextricably related to mission. That is Jesus' prayer. Jesse Zink, in his book, writes these words, "Think about our own political system where broken relationship and fracture have been raised to an art form. Not only do some people now show an unwillingness to engage with people who are different from them, they now boast of their unwillingness to do so, an attitude that sadly at times creeps into our churches as well." That's why our consideration of elephants in the room and how to take greater responsibility for our relationships is so relevant to the mission of the gospel. It's relevant to our desire to stretch with vigor and move on. We need to live by a new narrative, a narrative of unity where differences are reconciled, with mutual love and forbearance. That's in our DNA as Anglicans, as Episcopalians, and I know for a fact it's in our DNA as the Diocese of Virginia. What a gift we are to one another. The relationships that we share in this family of Christ, in the many networks that extend from this room, can't you think of any greater treasure? We are indeed a people who are reconciled in difference through love and mutual forbearance. And we too, we know the real pain of betrayal and separation. We know the cost of division and disunity. Perhaps that elephant is our salvation. But more importantly, we know that the blessing of staying faithful, of enduring with charity and hope, of moving hard work of forgiveness and reconciliation onward, we know that we are still receiving the creativity and joy and life of the Holy Spirit in our common life. We see a new day coming in the Diocese of Virginia. We feel it. It's stirring us. A new call, a call to stretch our boundaries. And yes, a call to be clear about what it is we believe. But generous in our welcome, in our inclusion and participation. And I just sense the Spirit saying to us, we must not miss this urgent opportunity that's before us. Imagine if people were looking at our church and seeing not a reflection of fraction and division, but a body that was living together in diversity. Not by papering over our differences, but by genuinely acknowledging them and still seeking to stay together. Jesse Zink calls this the countercultural moment that we are living in. And I believe that our younger generations are dying to see it. On the CNN Belief blog a few months ago, Rachel Evans, I think some of you follow Rachel, this is what she had to say. Many of us, myself included, are finding ourselves increasingly drawn to high church traditions, Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, the Episcopal Church, precisely because the ancient forms of liturgy seem so unpretentious, so unconcerned with being cool, and we find that refreshingly authentic. Hallelujah. What millennials really want from the church is not a change in style, but a change in substance. We want an end to the culture wars. We want a truce between science and faith. We want to be known for what we stand for, not for what we are against. We want to ask questions that don't have predetermined answers. We want churches that emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God over an allegiance to a single political party or a single nation. And that tells me that you and I are needed. We are needed. God needs the Diocese of Virginia. God needs our parishes. God needs our parishes to be places of joy, winsomeness, creativity, laughter, as well as healing. We need to be able to witness to our unity so that we can continue to offer our ancient practices and wisdom and our new understandings of the world today. I have found in my own ministry in recent years that many people are longing for a faith that reconciles their heart and their mind, that offers something positive and engaging, that grapples honestly with the tough questions of our day. They're longing for a faith that will help them get connected in ways to make a difference in their world. Who will help these people find that kind of faith? They're out there. Maybe you've discovered, as I have, that there's not lines and lines of people knocking on the door saying, I want to be an Episcopalian. But there are so many people passing by our doors who are asking the question, how can I get more spirituality into my life? Who will help these people? Let me close with a few thoughts about how. And I've gleaned these most recently from Jesse's wonderful book, Backpacking Through the Anglican Communion, A Search for Unity. Buy it. You won't be disappointed. He's shifting the narrative, and I believe we'll hear more voices like his in the months to come. So how? First, realize the power of one. The anthropologist Margaret Mead said these following words, "Never doubt that a thoughtful, committed individual can change the world. It's the only thing that ever has." So maybe the first thing to do is to stop accepting the narrative of disunity. Don't accept it anymore. As Rabbi Friedman would put it, define the hell out of yourself. One person stepping out of the narrative of disunity can take a countercultural step that will impact others when they see it. Haven't we seen this? One person taking a countercultural step and making a difference. Jesus goes to Samaria. He stops by Jacob's well. He's thirsty. He asks a woman of Samaria for a drink. They have a conversation. It's about water. It's about life. "Sir," the woman said, "give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again." And Jesus, the true master of indirectness, asks, "Go call your husband and come back." And Jesus gently invites the elephant in the room to dance. Something in her opens. Something in her is released. She bears witness to her newfound hope. She takes her place in God's dream for a world reconciled in Christ, because Jesus was willing to put aside the narrative of disunity. Jesus shows us to show up in places where we're not expected and to talk to people who are different than we are. So maybe the first thing is finding that place. Could be in your community. Doesn't have to be halfway down the road. It could be someone at the end of the pew with whom you have difference. And that's the second and last thing. There's no shortage of difference in the world or in the church today. But even difference is not an obstacle to unity. So we don't run from it. I know we want to. It looks like an elephant. And we can't continue to seek creating communities that are made up of more and more people like ourselves. So we have to ask ourselves, how can I find difference and how can I seek it out? We've seen an example of this in our faithful Bishop Shannon. Even in the face of much skepticism, in conversation with the rector of Truro Anglican Church. That's an example to all of us. Step out of the narrative, no matter how skeptical people are. I'll never forget the day a couple of years ago when I received a friend request on Facebook from Martin Minns. Oh my, I thought. Martin and I have known each other for years. We've traveled on mission trips together. He was literally my next-door neighbor, not that far away. But let's just say our friendship had become quite chilly, at the height of our unhappy divisions. So I thought to myself, gosh, if I accept his friendship on Facebook and others see it, what will they think of me? Will others defriend me because they see his posts on my page? I have friends who are on the left, and I have friends who are on the right, and now I'm stuck in the middle with all of you. How silly to be anxious about a friend request on Facebook. So I said yes. And it was one small way of acknowledging that we are bound to each other as brothers in Christ through baptism. And perhaps seeds will be sown that one day we shall trust each other with greater respect and integrity, no matter how much we continue to disagree. So, brothers and sisters, relationships matter. It's the work of life. No matter how fragile the steps that we take toward mutual regard and understanding, should we not, with vigor, press on? We can be tough-minded, but Christ also calls us to be tender-hearted in the way we care for each other and receive one another. I hope that some of us will show up in places where no one expects us to be. I hope that some of us will start talking with people who are really, really different from us. Christ prays for us to be one, that the world may believe. I'm not sure that there's any more important prayer for our times and our world, but I'm sure of this here in the Diocese of Virginia, that we will with vigor press forward, united in the missional love of God made known in Christ, and we will from time to time have moments of breakthrough where difference is reconciled and the narrative of unity grows stronger and stronger. Amen.
Amen.